This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's hit the guest line. Let's welcome aboard Ryan Wilson now. CBS Sports covers the National Football League NFL Draft. Hey, Ryan, Taz of the Moose with you, bro. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Absolutely. Good morning, guys.
Let's start here. The return of Bosa for the Chargers back at practice. They've ripped off a tremendous winning streak. They haven't exactly played a murderer's row schedule here. But what about for Los Angeles getting Bosa? It's going to make that team even that much more dangerous.
Huge, huge. They lost Denzel Perryman for the season, but to get someone like Bosa back, who is top five pass rusher the moment he steps on the field, is a big deal for a team that's sort of flying under the radar, which is, sounds weird to say when you're 7-2, but everyone's talking about the Chiefs and the Patriots, where they are now that they've lost another game. The Steelers are a team that gets mentioned, but because the Chargers are behind the Chiefs in that division, no one's really paying attention to them. And I think everyone feels like, we know what's going to happen. Either they start slow or finish strong, or they start strong and then they sort of peter out as December football rolls around. But this team looks completely different than the teams we're used to seeing. And getting Bosa back on that defense is a huge deal. And it's also worth pointing out, this offense is one of the best offenses in the league.
It really is.
Yep,
we like to make fun of Phillip Rivers for making goofy faces and throwing weirdly. But running game is legit, and teams sleep on that. And then Antonio Gates is even playing at a high level. So they can beat you any number of ways. And adding a defensive threat like Bosa that makes it a lot more difficult than opposing offenses, that's a huge score for the Chiefs as we move forward here.
Yeah, totally agree, Ryan. Hey, man, how fun you think tonight's going to be with these two quarterbacks we're going to get to see battle out with the Seahawks and the Packers?
This is going to be a fun game. And yeah. Here's the funny thing. Not so much with the Seahawks. We know they like to run the ball. But the Packers are actually a better running team than Seattle is, and that's sort of been their bread and butter while we've waited for Aaron Rodgers to get completely healthy and get on the same page with his young wide receivers. Aaron Jones is averaging 10 yards or more once every four times he touches the ball. That's three times more. Let's see, I think it's seven touches for 10 yards or more for guys like Gurley, Kareem Hunt, Zeke Elliott. So Aaron Jones has sort of came out of nowhere and taken over this running game. A lot of credit goes to the offensive line as well. But that certainly makes things a lot easier for Aaron Rodgers, who we've seen at times been frustrated, partly because he's playing with young guys, but I think also partly because he's not crazy about Mike McCarthy. We've sort of seen that bubbly under the surface. It's a huge game for both these teams. Seattle's 4-5, Green Bay's 4-1, and they're both grafting for air in this playoff chase. So this is a big game. It could go either way, but I think it's funny that it'll probably come down to the running games of these teams and how these defenses try to stop these running games and ultimately determining the outcome.
Yeah, and as long as he holds on to the football, you mentioned it, Ryan, I think Aaron Jones is going to be a star. He's got the burst that you love, the speed, certainly the one-cut ability, gets downhill. I love the running style. If he didn't have that suspension to begin the year, he would have attributed himself a lot quicker in this ground game.
Yeah, and it points to something else, and we see it on the other team. Rashad Penny was a first-round pick. They barely used him. He had a big game last week, rushed for over 100 yards. But these teams that think that first-round picks will solve their problems when you're talking about running backs, that isn't the case. You can find these guys anywhere, and they can be effective. Aaron Jones is a perfect example of that. And he's had another under-the-radar fantastic year and a big part of that offensive success. So, yeah, just something else to watch out for and precautionary tale for coaches who obviously are not listening to me.
That's funny. Hey, man, Ryan, what about the Colts, man? What do you think? Do you think they're about to make a run here or what?
Yes. I actually, before the season, I picked the Texans to win the division. They started slow, won six straight, and they're not playing great, but they're winning football games. But the deal with the Colts, man, their schedule is extremely easy down the stretch. Andrew Luck doesn't get sacked anymore. That is one of the biggest storylines no one's talking about. Mm. What Frank Reich has done to revitalize that offense. And not only that, don't forget, Chuck Pagano was a defensive guy when he arrived in Indianapolis. That defense was terrible while he was there. Frank Reich, offensive guy, comes in, gets it sorted out. That defense is balling out. Darius Leonard, their second-round pick, their rookie, that is a guy worth watching that a lot of people don't know about. He came from South Carolina State, a small school. People gave the Colts a hard time for drafting him in the second round. He is a baller. But the fact that Andrew Luck is who we thought he was, and I was concerned that he was going to have to play like Chad Pennington. I wasn't sure he could throw the ball down the field anymore once we saw him in preseason. But he has been lights out. And they have a chance to make some noise here. They got to get on the right side of 500. But the way their schedule sets up and the way they're protecting Andrew Luck, it's hard not to look at him and go, okay, we got to keep an eye on this because this could happen.
You know, when you look at, around the – if I had to give you a choice, Ryan, right now, in terms of the best team in the NFL, who would you say it is?
I think it's the Chiefs. I think the Rams are easy to like, and you know, you appreciate the way that Sean McVay has that team playing. But there, you've seen them recently, and you go, okay, this defense, there are questions there. Marcus Peters, maybe he's not healthy, maybe he's just slipping, but he's been an issue in the secondary. They got Fowler from Jacksonville, and he's helped, but he's also made some stupid penalties. But I think the Chiefs, they're getting better. I think you know what you have in Jared Goff. Not that he's at his ceiling, but you see him, you go, okay, this is what this guy can do. Patrick Mahomes is still leaving plays out there, so think about that for a second. So I feel like they can get better. Andy Reid has done a fantastic job coaching, and that's not to take anything from Sean McVay because everyone certainly loves what he does. But I feel like on a neutral field, the Chiefs have a good chance. Not only that, they have a good chance in Los Angeles. So I feel like they could go there, make some noise. It might be easier to play in Los Angeles than it would have been in Mexico City at elevation. So we'll find out. I don't want to call it a preview of the Super Bowl because they're calling it that. But it'll be a fun game. And I don't think Patrick Mahomes isn't afraid of anything. So he'll go in there and sling the ball around, and whatever happens, happens. But I feel like they're right now, they're slightly better than the Rams.
Ryan, how difficult of a decision was it by the NFL, if at all, to move that game from Mexico City to L.A.?
No, they didn't want to do it. The bottom line is making money, and that's the business they're in. And that's the reason the game was in Mexico City in the first place. My issue, and I'm sure the players' issue, is that you knew what the field looked like. This didn't sneak up on anyone. Yes, they sent officials down there to look at the field, and they said it was quote-unquote okay, you know, weeks ago. And it's not just because it rained a lot and Shakira had a concert that suddenly everything went south. They could have sorted this out earlier, but it didn't happen for whatever logistical reason. They did the right thing, but I think they were sort of forced to do the right thing. When you have players going on Twitter set to be involved in this game saying we're not playing on the surface, that's a bad look. You can't have a football game, the biggest game of the year right now, and not have your stars out there because of fear of injury. So it was the right reason to move it. They had a contingency plan in place, which is always the case when you have these international games, which is good news. But in the future, just sort it out. It's easy enough to say, but I feel like you had a year heads up. You can get this fixed if you want to expand the game internationally. So sort of pie on the face for the NFL, but they'll get over it, especially if this game turns out to be a really good one, which I suspect it will be.
Yeah, I do too. Hey, Ryan, let me ask you on that. Back, you know, staying on this game, this Chiefs-Rams game for Monday night in L.A., right? So, I mean, I don't know. You think that being that it did move, to Los Angeles from Mexico City, now that there's a little bit more scuttlebutt on the game, and look, it would probably have done a high number rating anyway because it's Chiefs-Rams, you think it could even help even more now that it's going to be played in Los Angeles as opposed to that they moved it because they had some scuttlebutt about it?
Yeah, if it's a good game, people will watch, and that will be the story. No one will be talking about it. If the score is, 35-31 at halftime, no one's going to be talking about the fact, that's weird. This game is not in Mexico City, which is the whole reason I tuned in for. No one's tuning in for that.
Let me interrupt, Ron. I'm sorry. I think I posed it wrong. I'm sorry. What I mean is you think there's more awareness on the game.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You're right. Yep, absolutely. Okay. That's right. So it's one of those sort of situations where the publicity could actually be in your favor, even though initially it wasn't. So, right, you need a big game from Mahomes, you got Goff, you got the coaches, you got the running backs. I mean, there are plenty of reasons to tune into this game.
No doubt.
And you knew about it already because of the issues that sort of blew up in the NFL's face. Nope, I agree with you.
You know, Ryan, to Dallas here, and that Cowboys-Skins game on Thanksgiving could be monumental if they beat Atlanta this week. What about this Dallas team, the up-and-down nature? 2 weeks ago, they lose by 14 at home to Tennessee. Last week, go on the road, beat Philadelphia. All the speculation about Garrett's future, those calling into question about Prescott, whether or not he's a franchise quarterback. What about this Cowboy team trying to get themselves seriously back into contention here in the NFC East?
These are the same questions I have. I love the fact that Jason Garrett, the world's most conservative coach, decided to go for it when he knew his job was on the line. He was faking punts and going for it on fourth down, things he would never do if it was the first game of the NFL season. I don't know why he doesn't do that more often. There's no downside to taking calculated risks that give your chance, your team a better chance of winning. And I think Dak Prescott has a lot of questions to answer. You watch him play, and sometimes he makes throws and you can't believe it in a good way, and then other times he makes throws and you're like, what's going on? What are you looking at?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah, so I feel like you have to get Zeke more involved, and they try to do that. The defense is playing lights out. You know, I was talking about Darius Leonard for the Colts. Leighton Vander Esch is balling, too, in the
He's
middle
tremendous.
Of that defense.
They're first-round pick,
middle linebacker. Yep. Byron Jones is one of the best cornerbacks no one's really talking about. We know about DeMarcus Lawrence. So there are reasons to like this defense and keep things close. They're playing in Atlanta, which is where Matt Ryan's a lot more comfortable. He doesn't play quite as well on the road. But the Falcons laid an egg last week in Cleveland. So you wonder where their mind's at. The Cowboys are having some momentum, and they need to win this game. Because if they win this game, that's bad news for the Eagles. The Eagles have a tough schedule going out, and they may not be able to get back in this thing with Washington at the top. And the Redskins are no guarantee to win it. They have injuries along the offensive line. Alex Smith has not been good. So, yeah, huge game for the Cowboys. I sort of like them. I only say that I like them better than the Eagles, I think.
Hey, let me ask you, man, about the Saints, right? So, as you know, they're hosting the Eagles on Sunday. And, dude, I got to tell you, I don't know if there's a hotter team than the Saints. I mean, can the Eagles show up? I mean, Wentz, like, is this going to be a game? What do you think is going to go on here?
I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be a game. This is to take nothing away from the Eagles. It's just like you pointed out. What do you do?
Dude, they're unbelievable, the Saints.
I mean, look, the quarterback's 39 years old, and he's lighting you up. And when he's not lighting you up, you got Kamara and Ingram back there running over you. Michael Thomas is the best wide receiver in the NFL, probably. Defense hasn't been great, but guess what? When you're scoring 50 points a game, you don't need to be great. If this defense was playing like it was last year, this would be one of the best teams in NFL history. Mm. So they have to sustain it, and we'll see if they will. This isn't a team that usually falters down the stretch, mostly because they have Drew Brees. I don't know what you do to stop this team. I have no idea what you do. You do the opposite of what the Bengals did last week, I suppose. But other than that, how do you keep it close? They can win on the road now. They went to Baltimore. No one thought they were going to win that game. And they won a really tough football game that got a lot of people's attention. Next week, they go to Minnesota and win that game. So, you know, we were talking about the Chiefs and the AFC. I think the Saints, I mean, if that game against the Rams happens to be in New Orleans again for the playoffs, the Rams are going to need a really good game plan to go in there and try to figure out how to stop Drew Brees.
We're talking to Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports, covers the National Football League. Ryan, a couple more before we let you go. Up to Foxborough, how much concern is there and about Gronk being able to get back and stay back on the field?
No, that's an issue. That's a real issue. And Tom Curran, the local beat reporter there, I think he said the other day on the radio that he doesn't expect Gronk back after this year. So that should tell you where they're at. We know that Bill Belichick's the type of guy who gets rid of his players a year early as opposed to a year late in their career. So, and he was talking about retirement this offseason. There was conversations that he might be traded. That all said, Tom Brady needs someone to throw the ball to. Josh Gordon is a nice weapon, but they don't have the same chemistry that Gronk and Brady have had. And Edelman's 32 or 33 now, and he's never been a sort of big play down the field guy. So you need to find that guy. Chris Hogan is the guy that can do it occasionally. The good news is they play in that terrible division. So they're going to win the division. It's just a matter of how far can they get. And if they have to travel in the playoffs, that's an issue. They are unstoppable almost at Gillette Stadium. But when they travel, they're beatable. And that's something that Bill Belichick has to figure out over these next few weeks. I don't know how you do it without Gronk. The running game is okay. The defense has been okay. But these are all things that typically Tom Brady finds a way to figure out. And he's not playing well. I mean, that's the bottom line. All these other quarterbacks have been playing better as the season progressed. Tom Brady has not. And I think having no Gronk out there is a big part of that.
Yeah, and final one for us, stay with the quarterback slot because Taz and I, Ryan, talk about, and we have, when we run around the league, the Ravens a lot, and obviously speculation about Harbaugh's future as head coach. What about quarterback here? Flacco, we've seen a downturn. He's dealing with that hip injury. If you were the Ravens, would you roll the dice here and give Lamar Jackson a little burn at quarterback with Flacco being banged up?
Yep, and I would do it because all the speculation that Harbaugh's job is on the line. What does he have to lose? Much like Jason Garrett going for it on every fourth down now, what do you have to lose? You put Lamar Jackson out there, you're playing a Bengals team that's given up 500 yards a game, and they haven't game planned for Lamar Jackson. They game planned for Joe Flacco to stand back there. So you get Lamar Jackson out there, you give him easy throws, you get the running game involved, you get Lamar Jackson involved in the running game, and let your defense do the rest. A.J. Green's not playing for the Bengals, so you can harass Andy Dalton all day. But if you drafted this guy in the first round, and if your plan is to make him your starting quarterback, and if you're done with Joe Flacco, who's making $25 million next year, and you know you're moving on from him, what's the holdup? You're 4-5, you got to make a move. Joe Flacco's not helping you make that move. go all in to Lamar Jackson. The worst thing that happened.
Maybe Jackson could throw the ball to himself because Flacco don't want to throw it to him.
That's right. He saw him over there.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, he saw him.
So wide open.
Come on.
Ryan Wilson, NFL Draft, covers the National Football League, CBSSports.com. Hey, Ryan, we certainly appreciate this morning, and enjoy the rest of your Thursday, all right?
Yeah, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
You got it. Be well. Coming up straight ahead, he didn't want to throw it to him. You're right.
Dude,
we got
crazy.
The undercard coming your way next. It's Taz. It's Moose. It's a Thursday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.